They left the squad behind and walked forward carefully, over the beds of new fallen leaves. The smoke was heavy and fragrant, and above all, reminiscent. Polly headed to where thicker undergrowth was taking advantage of the extra light of a clearing, and pushed through into an airy thicket of hazel trees. The smoke was denser here, and barely moving. The thicket ended. A few yards away, in a wide patch of cleared ground, a mound like a small volcano was spewing flame and smoke into the air.
"Charcoal oven," whispered Polly. "Just clay, plastered on a stack of hazel. Should sit there smouldering for days. The wind probably caught it last night and the fire's broken out. Won't make good charcoal now, it's burning too fast."
They edged around it, keeping to the bushes. Other clay domes were dotted around the clearing, with faint wisps of steam and smoke coming from their tops. There were a couple of ovens in the process of being built, the fresh clay stacked alongside some bundles of hazel sticks. There was a hut, and the domes, and nothing else but silence, apart from the crackle of the runaway fire.
"The charcoal burner's dead, or nearly dead," said Polly.
"He's dead," said Maledict. "There is a smell of death here."
"You can smell it above the smoke."
"Sure," said Maledict. "Some things were good at smelling. But how did you know?"
"They watched the burns like hawks," said Polly, staring at the hut. "He wouldn't let it go out of control like that if he was alive. Is he in the hut?"
"They are in the hut," said Maledict flatly.
He set off across the smoky ground. Polly ran after him.
"Man and woman," she said. "Their wives often live out with—"
"Can't tell, not if they're old," said Maledict shortly.
The hut was only a temporary thing, made of woven hazel and roofed with tarpaulin. The charcoal burners moved around a lot, from coppice to coppice. It didn't have windows, but it did have a doorway, with a rag for a door. The rag had been pulled away. The doorway was dark. "I've got to be a man about this," she thought. There was a woman on the bed, and a man lying on the floor. There were other details which the eye saw but the brain did not focus on. There was a great deal of blood. The couple had been old. They would not grow older. Back outside, Polly took frantic mouthfuls of air.
"Do you think those cavalrymen did it?" she said at last,
and then realised that Maledict was shaking.
"Oh, the blood," she said.
"I can deal with it. It's okay. I just have to get my mind right. It's okay."
He leaned against the hut, breathing heavily.
"Okay, I'm fine," he said. "And I can't smell horses. Why don't you use your eyes? Nice, soft mud everywhere after the rain, but no hoof prints. Plenty of footprints, though. We did it."
"Don't be silly, we were—"
The vampire had reached down and pulled something out of the fallen leaves. He rubbed the mud off it with a thumb. In thin pressed brass, it was the flaming cheese badge of the ins and outs.
"But I thought we were the good guys," said Polly weakly.
"If we were guys, I mean."
"I think I need a coffee," said the vampire.
"Deserters," said Sergeant Jackram 10 minutes later. "It happens."
He tossed the badge into the fire.
"But they were on our side," said Shufti.
"So? Not everyone's a nice gentleman like you, Private Manacle," said Jackram. "Not after a few years of getting shot at and eating rat scubbo. On the retreat from Krusk, I had no water for 3 days, and then fell on my face in a puddle of horse piss. A circumstance which did nothing for my feelings of goodwill toward my fellow man or horse. Something the matter, Corporal?"
Maledict was on his knees, going through his pack with a distracted air.
"My cough is gone, Sarge." "Should have packed it properly, then," said Jackram, unsympathetically. "I did, Sarge. I washed out the engine and packed it up with the beanbag after supper last night. I know I did. I don't take coffee lightly." "If someone else did, they're going to wish I'd never been born," growled Jackram, looking around at the rest of the squad. "Anyone else lost anything?"
I wasn't going to say anything, because I wasn't sure," Shufti volunteered. "But my stuff looked as if it had been pulled about when I opened my pack just now."
"Oh-ho," said Jackram. "Well, well, well. I'll say this once, lads. Pinching from your mates is a hanging offence, understood? Nothing breaks down morale faster than some sneaky little sod dipping into people's packs. And if I find out someone's been at it, I'll swing on their heels."
He glared at the squad.
"I ain't going to demand that you all empty out your packs as if you's criminals," he said. but you'd better check that nothing's missing. Of course,